Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. The day after the New Year's Eve party we had yesterday. I'm a bit of a psychological hangover, I'll be honest with you. I pushed this boulder up the hill for a year, and here I am, and here you are, and the phone number is 855-400-7282. For Democrats, it's 400 Savage because you're so much smarter that you don't need the numerals. Anyway, guys, listen, here's the story. The story came out yesterday, biggest shakeup in talk radio history. Savage to take over Hannity's 3 to 6 p.m. slot on Cumulus Network beginning in January. It's huge news. It was on Drudge. It's been in the daily news, all the trades. And people are responding in the usual ways. The fans, great. The detractors, hate. And, it goes on and on. But here's one that I saw from someone that I thought was interesting. And they said, talk radio could use some different people besides the same tired old mouthpieces. People like H&L won't say anything that sounds controversial, like protecting America's national identity, fighting against globalism. They're too closely tied to the RNC to say anything out of bounds. Otherwise, whatever, you get the picture. It says it's just the same old sanitized political messages from those people. Another one writes, I wonder if the doc had Chinese food today. Another one says, I hate him, I'm not going to listen to him. The next guy says, Dr. Savage would tell you not to listen to him. And then the other one says, I think Michael Savage is great, but he has his off days to be sure, but he's mostly on. I find him a lot more stimulating than the Republicans good, Democrats bad. Another one says, he couldn't understand what I was saying because he didn't go to the first grade. 855-400-7282. What I've done for you today, I'm not going to talk about the wall banger. I know many of you want me to call the wall banger by his name or the leprechaun by his name. I won't do it. I refuse to call O'Reilly the leprechaun or Hannity the wall banger. It's just not up to my standards. I won't do it. Now, of course, O'Reilly is the leprechaun in that he got where he's gotten by pretending to be conservative. And then he came out in favor of virtually everything that Obama wants or McCain wants. I don't know if it's something in the shillelagh, but why is it that O'Reilly and McCain see the world the same way, which is the Obama way? Can anyone explain that? Also on the Savage Nation today, we have the Savage Golden Oldies. We really culled some good ones for you. The guys worked on the 500 pieces we found. We have the Nympho in Alley Pond Park, a famous one from 10 years ago, which appeared in one of my semi-autobiographical books. That's a touching story. Starbucks, unfortunate decision to stop at a Starbucks. Life sucks and then you die. Teddy and the blanket, where he treated the blanket like a wife. Some of these are wonderful, and I'm in the mood to play that. You know, I really am. Look, we know the news is horrible. It's disgusting. It's a nightmare out there. Americans reject by 61% Obama call for clean debt vote and poll. If you could figure out what that means, you deserve a PhD in deconstructing Bloomberg News. Americans reject by 61% Obama call for clean debt vote and poll? What? What that means is Americans, by a 2-to-1 ratio, reject Obama's contention that Congress should raise the U.S. debt limit without conditions. That's all I'm going to say about the news tonight. Because it's boring. When you went to high school, you went to college, did you like teachers who went on and on and on about any topic? I don't care what the topic was. I didn't. So I can't do it on the radio. First of all, it bores me. Secondly, it'll bore you. So that's all there is to it. If you get a comment on my funny names for my peers, 855-400-7282. Yes, yes, yes. People think it's just talk. Oh, someone doesn't like here. I used to listen to Savage nightly until he started down the slippery slope calling other talk shows names and putting them down as if he's God's gift to radio. There's no need to name call his peers, and to me shows lack of intelligence and low self-esteem. But Savage knows no bounds. If he straightens up, I'll be glad to come back. I tried to listen to him last night, but couldn't take him putting anyone down. Yeah, all right. I know no bounds. That's my beauty. I know no bounds. And so I'm a little tired tonight. I'll be very honest with you. I can't read all of these things. I'm exhausted. It's like the myth of Sisyphus. The boulder went over the hill, and I'm not ready to go on the other side of the hill and push it up the hill. By the way, it was very interesting to see that the Daily News picked up my the story. And they almost didn't put me down in a full way. It was an interesting change for them. I got to read you one line from it because, you know, I'm originally from New York, so the Daily News, I read it every day. I grew up on the Daily News, the Post, Journal American. The Times was for the intellectual geniuses who worked in accounting somewhere in Manhattan. The rest of us who were blue collar and, you know, whatever, we read the news. We read the Post. We folded it a certain way in the subway. Michael Savage to take over Sean Hannity's radio slot, says David Hinckley of the New York Daily News. But this is the interesting part. Here's what he wrote. The hot-blooded host announced Wednesday that he would have Hannity's 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. spot on Cumulus Radio next year, including WABC 770 a.m. in New York. That's interesting. But then they said something. I'm hot-blooded now. There's another line in here. It says there's something about my New York roots. I want to see the root part. Savage originally from New York. Here it is. Savage, a New Yorker whose show is based in San Francisco. I like that. I like it. I moved out of New York in 1968, but I'm still a New Yorker. Isn't that great? Savage, a New Yorker whose show is based in San Francisco, is currently heard on WABC in the evenings. His fiery socio-political commentary, which he intersperses with long monologues on food, travel, and lifestyle issues, has earned him several million listeners a week. That is true. What more do you need to know? That's all. That's the whole story. What else is there to say? Yeah. Oh, they're going into his real name. Like, I should be ashamed of my real PhD and my real 18 books in science. Schmuck. Idiot. Anti-Semites, all of you. What do I care what you say about me? I'm proud of my name. Period. What are you? You proud of your name? Beating up old men in laundromats, are you? You see that sound? Did you see that piece on the Drudge Report today? It just shows you that this poor old 75-year-old, did you see it? You got to find this. Laundry rage. Suspect arrested for laundry rage attack on 75-year-old retiree. Where else? Florida. Florida. The guy is 75. He's a little old Greek guy in the laundromat with his wife, and he goes to use a dryer, and some putz, 55, much bigger than him and younger, tells him it's his dryer, he can't use it. Now, there's nothing in the dryer yet. One word leads to another. He knocks the poor 75-year-old to the ground. The 75-year-old goes for his phone. The guy who beat him up picks up the phone, throws it, and breaks it. Then the little guy, the little Greek, gets up again. He knocks him to the ground again. Now, I wish that this ended another way. I wish the little old Greek guy had pulled a Zimmerman on the thug. That would have been a happy ending. That would have been a real happy ending massage. You know what I'm saying? 855-407-282. Now, I could play for you requests as well. What would you like me to do? I think I'm going to do a request day. Okay, science, poetry, art, literature, women's clothing, shoes, men's fashions through the ages. I've once done a whole segment on my show about women's shoes in a museum, and I think it was a popular show. Why must we talk about Obama and the budget and whatever, Obamacare, day in and day out and day in and day out? I can't take it. Can I ask you something? Is Obama and Harry Reid and Ted Cruz, are they the sun, the moon, and the stars? Do you realize how limiting you are in your own mind if that's all you think about? If that's all you think about and all you talk about, it limits your mind. The world is an amazingly large place. You have any idea what else there is in the world to talk about? So, you know, I'm going to ask you that question. The diehards. I'm never going to just talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars, meaning the political class. They bore the socks off me. They bore me to death. I can't talk about them. They're not the most important people on earth. Yes, they have a great deal of power over us. I agree. But I'm not going to talk. Does it mean I have to talk about them? I'd rather not. You know, when there's a big news story related to them, sure. And, of course, whether it's Christie's waistline or whatever, you know, you can make jokes about it all you want, but how much can you talk about it? If I see a good movie, I'll review it. If I read a book, that I like, I'll talk about it. News, views, and reviews. I go to the Indian buffet. You get the Indian buffet. Did not go today. Today was a calamari sandwich and vegetables. It was horrible because I didn't get the French fries. And the calamari I shouldn't have eaten because it was from a local place, and it's from China. I know it's poison. I don't feel good from it. I'm tired. Toxic seafood. But look, there's only so much you can do in one day. Or do you want me to fight every day? Charge the line. That's what many of you want. You want me to get on the radio every day with fixed bayonets, like Buchanan says, and charge the Democrats. All right, that's what you want. You got other guys who like to charge the Democrats. In fact, most of them are Democrats, pretending to charge the Democrats. They laugh all the way to the bank. They fly in Gulfstream's 550s, and they tell you that they're with the working class, the working guy. Now, there's nothing against the Gulfstream. They're beautiful airplanes. But please don't pretend you're riding the Q44A with a blue collar working shirt, and you're still putting up a wallboard. You're not doing it anymore. So what I'm going to do for you is play the Nympho in Alley Pond Park from 1995 on the Savage Nation. Play it away. So you see, I was about 16 years old, Queens, New York, and one of the girls in the crowd was, well, she was that way. She was a nymphomaniac. It was a cold winter's evening. A group of five or six guys took her in a car to Alley Pond Park, and they had their way with her. I was one of the guys in the car, and I did not want my way with her. In fact, I felt bad for her. I didn't know what to do. I was the idiot, sensitive kid in the back who was laughed at. Like, hey, it's your turn. I said, no, I just don't want to do this. Something's wrong here. So after the guys, these pigs, these animals, most of whom wound up working in the garment center, selling clothing. Some, I think, went into the television business. One went into the record business. Got through with her. The car went back to her house. And here's the whole crux of the story. It's not like laughing about the nymphomaniac in the car. Here's the crux of the story. Car pulls up back in front of her house. And she lived in a nice house. And her father's waiting for her on the lawn of the house with an overcoat. The guys basically throw her out of the car, disheveled and like half naked, laughing, and speed away. And I turn around and see the father walking up to her to cloak her and cover her nakedness with the overcoat. Now, there's so much in that story that needs to be discussed. I don't have the time for it. I have a minute and 15 seconds. What a father. What a great father he was. Now, you'd think a father would scream, you filthy slut, you, blah, 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 how dare you? Or he'd come at the car and hit the guys. He didn't do either, did he? He lived with what was. He knew who his daughter was and what her proclivities were. I don't know how she wound up. I mean, maybe she turns out. A lot of people go through these phases. And they, you know, in the woman's side, you know, can straighten out. I mean, I don't know what they become. Maybe a yoga instructor or something later on in life. Or if they're a male and they suffer from satiriasis, they become a president, like Bill Clinton. You know, if they suffer the equivalent of nymphomania in male, it's satiriasis, and that can make you into a wonderful president in some cases. But in either case, that's the story of the nymphomaniac at Alley Pond Park that goes with the song which we're going to play right now on the way out this hour, the Only Have Eyes For You song, Springland, New York. Oh, no, wait a minute. Play the song. But that goes with the girl next to the sewer plant.
I can't see anyone.
That's right, that was a runner-up to Nympho story. I don't know what song goes with that. That was beautiful. It's a nice piece. Very.
855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Don't tell me that doesn't move you. Don't tell me that didn't move your internal needle. You know it did. I don't care who you are. You were ready to turn the dial, but you couldn't. That's all. You're hooked. Admit it. I'm your pusher. I'm your pusher, man, and you're hooked. There's no way to let go of this show. What happens is a lot of people say, I hate him, I can't stand him, who the hell does he think he is? I'm not listening to him. And then they keep tuning back until eventually they say, you know what, I actually believe what he's saying is true. That's how it works. That's why I'm here 20 years later. It took me 20 years, but I have the Chinese philosophy of struggle and success. I always said, no matter how long it takes me, I'm going to wind up in the winner's circle. 20 years in the making. By the way, hello, Isaac. There's a little boy, a friend of my friend has a lovely little boy who's under the age of 5 who listens to the show, and he likes when I mention Teddy. So, Isaac, hello, how are you? Let's go to WMAL in Washington. Julie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. You are absolutely right. And I am that person who, when they brought you to WMAL, I thought, who is this bombastic person? Because I was a little turned off when I first started to listen. But the more I started to listen and pay attention, I found you to be absolutely delightful. Number one, you're a poet. And you're a master linguist. And I loved to listen to you just tell the story, whatever the story was of the day, whether it was the story about politics or whether the story was about your life.
You see, what's in, I want to interject. You used an interesting word. You said linguist. You're a master linguist. You get it. Many people don't hear the... the language skills. They hear a longshoreman talking on the radio and they say, who the heck is this guy? They don't actually listen to the words. They're used to the silver-tongued, middle American voice that says nothing to them or leads them astray. But I use my longshoreman's voice to shock people into awareness. It's like a trumpet that I've been given to awaken America to the danger we're in from this creeping New World Socialism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Starting, of course, with the obvious baby works like Brave New World, that I read everything he ever wrote. I even went to London and looked up obscure magazine articles at the time. He wrote, you know that he wrote on architecture? That was interesting, and furniture. That's what opened my mind, is that you get into a political figure you really admire, political novelist, and then you find out that they were writing on other things that interested them as well. Then, of course, he got into the drug thing, which led him astray, incidentally. The whole mescaline part of the Huxley mystique was a complete and total disaster and a mistake for him. It took him off the rails. In fact, I don't think I ever told you this story. I visited, when I was very young, 18, 19, 20, I don't remember. I drove all the way out to California, and I visited Laura Huxley, the widow. I'll never forget that story. I never told it, or I may have brushed on it once in 20 years. But it's an interesting story politically, because here's Aldous Huxley, who wrote about drugs, and he became very popular during the era of the 60s because of Heaven and Hell, The Doors of Perception, Heaven and Hell, all about his mescaline experience. I never used psychedelics. Someone once gave me a psychedelic. I wanted to kill him for what it did to me. I hated it. As I said to you, I was granted a violin for a brain, not a banjo. And I don't like people tampering with my thinking. Nevertheless, Huxley, who had a great brain, made the mistake of using mescaline. It screwed up his mind. Now, how do I know that? I'll give you one example in my opinion again. I visited his widow in Los Angeles. I went to Reed College one summer on a little grant. And in driving back, it was in a little Nash, like one of those little Nash cars. I drove down to L.A. from Portland, Reed College, right, NSF grant. Went down to L.A., got an audience with Laura Huxley, and I drove up to Mulholland Drive, which to me, Mulholland Drive was like as close to paradise as you could ever get. It was heaven. And I met the boy Juan, who Huxley had written about in one of his novels, as a near-angelic young man. He was a little Latino boy who worked for them, and he described him as a boy with perfect skin and the body of an Adonis. And there he was, the actual Juan, and to me it was miraculous to believe that anyone could be so wealthy as to live on a mountaintop off a drive like this with a swimming pool that overlooked Los Angeles. I had never heard of anything like that. I lived in an attached house or stinking little apartments in Queens that cost too much money. And I think I was, I don't know, whatever, who remembers all of it? Nevertheless, I visited with Laura Archera Huxley, and I believe I have remembered everything she said to me. And she said something to the effect that he thought that he could see into the next life. and communicate with the next people in the next world, but he was mistaken. I said, wow. I mean, I didn't know what to say. I was just a kid from New York, and, you know, the East Village was in turmoil with ideas and frauds and shysters and geniuses. You know, the real McCoy, the fake McCoy, the ripoff artist with long hair who pretended to be hippies who were just trying to, you know, steal your dope, your money, or your woman. That's what was going on. But she told me that. I could hardly absorb what she was saying to me. But that's the story. And then drove back across America in the little Nash Rambler. There's some kind of little Rambler, little mini Nash. It was almost like Jack Kerouac's Plymouth story. Drove back across America in the little Nash. And I didn't know the heater had been left on. I didn't know how the heater worked. And it was on the entire trip through Las Vegas. My feet were on fire. I didn't know how to turn the heater off. I got to New York, and the mechanic said, hey, you pulled the vent, and the heater was on the whole way. I thought the car was broken. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Now, is this talk radio what I'm doing for you right now? Yes or no? Is this what you want to hear? What do you want me to do? Obamacare no good. Obamacare terrible. Sky is falling. Republicans must attack. Get out your bayonets. Hey, maybe that's all true, but it doesn't mean it has to be the only thing that's going to talk about on talk radio. You get it? It's as simple as that. So I'm doing a request today of anything you want, and you can see already where my head's going. And here's the beauty of talk radio, if you must know. When the clock struck 6 on the West Coast, or 9 on the East Coast, I was exhausted. I was dead. All I wanted to do was say, why am I doing radio tonight? I'm tired. We just made the announcement. It's the Sisyphus thing. I pushed the boulder up the hill. I can't go to the bottom of the hill and push it back up tonight. I'm tired. So I said, okay, what do I want to do? I want to go and drink or eat. What do people do at night, normal people? Eat and drink. I'd weigh 270 pounds if I did that. I'm lean now. I'm like 150, 155. I'm in almost fighting trim. By January, I'm going to be even better. I got a whole new weightlifting regimen. I don't lift them at all. My new weightlifting regimen is I don't lift them. I hate weightlifting. You know that I was very early on in the weightlifting. I remember the American Health Studios on Jamaica Avenue under the L in Queens. It was a hot thing. I was in high school. I was a little kid. And I really wanted to be that kid who didn't get the sand kicked in his face anymore. So I started going to them every day after high school. Like a religion. It was the first weightlifting studios that had mirrors and chrome. It wasn't like an ugly garage, you know, Joe Weider, you know, iron. And it was very, you know, and it had protein pills that I kept. I didn't know what was in it. They tasted like maltose, maltodextrin. I thought that was protein. My mother's, you know, eggs in the morning were a better source of protein. So I was popping the pills, and I was working out, and I was getting very strong. There's a great story attached to the American Health Studios. Anyway, I worked out for years, then I gave it up. But I've always had dumbbells in my radio studios. You ask anyone. Early days at KSFO, 1994, I had a set of 210-pounders, and I'd work out to just aerate my brain and lungs, and I still do. But now here's something interesting. I've reduced it to 2.5-pound dumbbells, which I use super high reps all the time, walk around. So I'm getting that leaner feeling rather than I don't have to bulk up and look like a movie star trying to look tough. I'm not a movie guy. What is this thing with tattoos on the neck for? Why is everyone trying to look like a Russian gangster who just came out of a prison? They wouldn't survive 1 second in a Russian prison. To me, it's like a dangerous thing to walk around with tattoos that make you look tough when you're not. What is that all about? If you're really a tough guy, okay, wear your tattoos. Wear them proudly. The worst thing, though, are the actors who pretend to be tough who have tattoos, and they're not tough. I don't get that. So I don't do the barbell thing. So here we are. So I'm in the gym. Never forget this one. Storytelling night, okay, and I'm very energized, by the way. That's the sum total of the story. I was exhausted before the show, wanted to just, like, lay down. I said, you can't lay down. You got a show to do. Now I'm full of energy. I'm running at about 75, 78% right now. I could feel it. If there was a digital meter in my being, I'm running at about 78% of my energy. It's flowing. My mind is working. The mind-tongue connection is good. Everything's flowing. It's working. I feel great and energized. Why? You, the audience, the show topics. It's a different thing. Radio is very energizing. You got to understand that. If you're a performing artist, as all talk show hosts who are good are, They may be politically oriented, but if they're really good at what they do, they're performing artists. If you really get into your performance, it will move you, and it gives you the energy that you're looking for. In the gym, there was a guy named Al. He was Italian. He wasn't much taller than me, but he was really, I'm talking weightlifter, real, the heavy-duty, 21-inch bicep, the thin stomach, the lats, the pecs, the this, the that, the washboard stomach. He was mean and tough-looking, but he was a bully. And he picked on me because I was a little kid trying to build myself up. And he was like the gym manager. So the story is, every day he'd do something to put me down or pick on me. You know that kind of guy. All right, you live with it. Big deal. I'm going to go cry and call it, blow a whistle. You don't. You live with it. Bullying is part of life, especially if you're a boy. You got to learn to be bullied. As we all know, the only way to stop being pushed around is to start pushing back. And the only way to learn to push back is to stop wanting someone to come to your aid, you know, like a big sis or big daddy. So Al, certainly I didn't say I'm going to beat him up. That's not what happened. But listen to me. This is an incredible story. Al grabs me in front of everybody, puts his arms around me, almost in an embrace. It was like a weird, you know, something else going on. But he wasn't embracing me in an affectionate manner. It was to control me in an almost a jujitsu lock to turn me into a, you know, a victim. I have no idea how or why, but I turned a certain way, pushed a certain way. He wound up on the floor rolling. I wound up standing, and everyone laughed at him. And I looked at his face. I'll never forget as long as I live the look of Al, the macho weightlifter, rolling on the floor with a red face and an embarrassed look. And guess what? He never touched me again. Never. Maybe he thought I knew some secret judo. I don't know. But that's a little story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I love you. So as you can see, it's a little in the lighter mood tonight. I can't call it open mic to mic, but it is. I'm taking requests. You heard all of the rest today, and it's good stuff. Okay, Obamacare, this, it's like talking about cancer day and night. When I hear the word Obamacare, I feel like someone's like talking about a disease. Right? I don't want to hear about a disease. It's horrible day and night. Let others do it. Actually, it's nice to let them do it. Now that I think about it, let them eat their hearts out with it. This guy is a diehard Leninist. I've written book after book about it, showing you his roots. Who he is, what he is. He hasn't developed. He hasn't grown. He has not left any of his desire to control everything from a centralized vantage point. This man is still into central power, central control. The people are nothing. What can I say about it? They're supposed to be an opposition party. The people are supposed to have a voice in their own government. I loved hearing some guy on television today. I forget who he was. I think Andrew Young, former UN ambassador, giving an interview. I never cared for Andrew Young because he was a little too pro-Palestinian for me. He was talking about Iran, and he said, well, Iran, he's talking about the era of the Shah, and he said, you know, in Shah at the time, there was a lot of dissent while the Shah was in power because the middle class in Iran at that time increasingly had no voice in their government. And he went right over it. I said, oh, my God, you mean like now, Andrew, under your man, Barack Obama, where the middle class has no say in their government? Do you realize that these people talk and don't even understand what they're saying? The middle class in this country, the working class, in other words, like you and I, make no mistake about it, we're the working class. We have no say in our government. We said no to Obamacare. We said no to illegal aliens. I can name 10 things we said no to. No to surveillance on us. No to spying on us. Stop controlling us. Stop telling us what to think wherever we turn. We have a say in our government. We're very much the disturbed middle class of Iran before the Shah fell. But I warn you, what came after the Shah was far worse. It was cancer on Ayatollah Khomeini. And Obama is very much like a dictator of that time in Iran at that time. Either he doesn't really know that the people don't love him, or he internally knows it and could care less because he's got the newspapers and the TV, and they tell the people what he wants them to say. So That's why I can't do politics every day. There's a limit to it. Let me take some calls. Rochester, New York, WHAM. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Dr. Savage. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
As you were asking about requests, I have a request since you're playing oldies. How about a fourth best of CD for all of us to have since it's been several years since the last one?
I did three of them in the 1990s, in the mid-90s, and never did another one. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. I think that with the new audience, I should put out a new CD with many of the stories that I'm replaying tonight and others, and put them on a new CD for maybe for Christmas. I could probably do that quickly and get something out for the holidays. That might be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do that. Thank you. Jeff, I'm going to work on it. I can't guarantee it'll be ready, but I will do it. It's not that there's a lot of money in it, but the diehard fans are going to want that in order to have something to go to in their car during the Christmas dinners when they're about to, just jump out of a window or electrocute themselves with a Christmas tree. Say, yeah, look, I'm going to go take a walk. And the guy goes, sits in the car and pops in a Savage CD just to clear their head, you know. 855-472-82, phone number, Texas. Jennifer, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, good evening, Dr. Savage. I'm so happy to talk with you. I love your format. You do beat the other talk show.
Well, I'm different. Let's put it that way. I'm a little different. That is a different type of show, and I'm glad that I found an audience, which includes yourself. I hear you're my 20th woman listener.
Well, yes, I'm a Savagette.
You're a Savagette. I've got to create some kind of pom-pom or something or other for the Savagettes out there that all of the wonderful listeners can get. Thanks, Jennifer, for listening in Texas. What I want to do for you now is play you another one of our pieces that'll fit right in that right now. I don't know if it's any good. I haven't heard it today. Do we have time for Life Sucks? No, that's too long. How about Starbucks, clip 13, done about 2-3 years ago? You know, I was walking around today after lunch. I had another disgusting, horrible Chinese meal. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. I have a love-hate relationship with bad Chinese food. I can't control it. It's an addiction. I knew I shouldn't eat it. I knew I should have gone to a salad bar. But instead, like a robot, I walked over to the same greasy spoon Chinese that I've eaten in for 20 years and had the greasy curry because it's Tuesday. And it's delicious. I know it ruined my blood lipids. I know it blew out my arterial health. I got bloated. I got tired. I never felt better. It relaxed me. And then I came back and said there's only one cure for this feeling, and that's coffee, a cookie, and a fruit salad. So I made the unfortunate decision to stop in Starbucks. Oh, and that's when the fun began. Another one of the druggies on rehab was working there. They rotate him out of rehab right into Starbucks. Some white girl with a scarf on her head. I don't know what the scarf was. It's nothing to do with Islam, so don't misinterpret it. She's just a screwed-up white girl. Oh, I didn't say any. I said, I'd like a small coffee. How hard is this? I'd like a small coffee, an oatmeal raisin cookie, and a fruit salad. All right, so far, so good. Out the fruit salad I pick out of the, and then she did. I will look carefully to make sure that they're not touching the cookie with a diseased finger. I see they use a tongue. So far, that's number two is good. Number three, the coffee they put on the counter. She says $6.15. I didn't say a word. I put it out. Then she says to me, is the tall coffee for you too? I said, what? I said, I asked for a small coffee. She said, I know, but here's a tall coffee. I said, but I asked for a small coffee. She gets hostile and says, welcome to Starbucks. In Starbucks, we call a small coffee a tall coffee. I said, hey, honey, I've been eating in Starbucks before you went into rehab. Don't lecture me and don't start a fight. That's all I had to say to Miss Rehab. Hell broke loose. I saw the crowd of sheeple already were on her side. Someone stood up to Miss Rehab. I said, hey, honey, you're not going to last too long in this joint. You can't even hold on to this job. You're picking a fight with a customer? She threw the bag. She threw the dime, and I walked out. That's sad. Welcome to San Francisco. Not bad. It's just a little slice of life. Tell me you haven't had that happen to you somewhere. Maybe a supermarket. It's like the UN now in a supermarket. They don't speak a word of English. God forbid. And what do they always in Safeway? Every time you go in now, they try to hold you up. My teeth clench. My toes grip the bottom of my shoe. Every time I'm afraid to ring something up. Would you like to make a donation too? I said, no. I feel like you're a homeless person shaking me down to the cashier, but I know you're only doing your job. Can you ring it up, pack it up, and get me out of here? What are they shaking down for? Would you like to add this to your bill? No, I would not like to add it to my bill. I gave it work. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here, be nowhere.
The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, coming in on two. Coming in to you. Every little swallow, every chickadee. The magic of radio, brought to you by the good graces of Cumulus Media Networks. And here we are. A year has gone by. Autumn is in the air. It's dark already here on the West Coast at this hour. Thank God. Thank God the nights and the days are shorter. Oh, I feel like I'm like on the North Pole. I can't take summers. Dark at 9:30. It's like the Arctic Circle. I don't know how to fill up the time. I don't know what to do with it. I like early nights. I mean, people think you're crazy. I love it. Like out here at 7 minutes after seven, it's already dusk, dark, sun's gone down. Thank God. I don't have to put up with some kind of daytime activity, running, bicycling. I can't take it. Night is good. Night is good. My eyes feel better. Everything feels rested. How I'm going to adjust to 12 to 3 on the west, 3 to 6 on the east is another story. But I remember when I was a little boy, my mother would put me to sleep at 4 o'clock. She'd tell me it was nighttime. So there may be something in that. I don't know how that works. It's the Savage Nation. We're doing a kind of a retro this, retro that, little of the news, because you've heard it all today. You see, here's the thing about it, about talk radio. It depends upon the time of day. I may have to do more news during the day. I may do more of a news-oriented show, because it'll be earlier, and the news is breaking during the day, so I'll do more news. But on the other hand, everyone else does it, so why should I do it anyway? If it agitates me, as it often does, I can control the agitation lately better than I could when I was just starting out. I always went crazy in the beginning. I think it's better to just mix it in, frankly, to an overall talk show. Let the others eat their hearts out and see if they get as far as I did in the time I did. That's all. I wish them all well. Yeah, like I really wish them all well. Yeah, we're all friends in the same dugout, right? Sure. Whoever can sucks every dime into their own kitty and then says that they're a conservative and into the free market. What you mean by the free market is they get everything and you get nothing. Their idea of the free market is I want it all for me and they can all go to hell, but we'll make believe we're all on the same team. That's the free market. It's war out there, let me tell you. So I'm taking requests tonight on the radio. Let's go to KLIF in Texas. James, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I grew up with radio. I grew up as a small child listening to the radio, and I listened to what my parents listened to. The Great Gildersleeve, Fibber McGee and Molly, and a lot of the old programs. And my request to you would be to just keep them coming. I just love your little anecdotes and stories and what you have to tell. It's just the best of two worlds for me.
Well, let me ask you, this is a loaded question, James, but I assume you're willing to listen to my stories because you know where I'm coming from politically. Isn't that so?
Well, that's right, and I know where you're coming from. Let me give you a little of my history. I grew up in a town way in far west Texas, nearly to the New Mexico border. My best friend was Jewish. His mother was a Jewish actress in New York, and his daddy was a jeweler in the little town. And she told me all about New York. I heard about New York, and then I was stationed at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and I went home with a lot of the boys out of New York, went to the weekend meals with their families and got a...
James, what era was this? What period of time we're talking about? James, what year? Were the 50s or the 60s?
It was the 60s.
Well, it was a changing time. That was the real changing time in America, but you still had a lot of tradition still in America then.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then it all got destroyed. It was completely ruined after the 60s. People say, I don't know how we survived the 60s. My answer is we haven't. Take a look at what we have in the White House and Congress right now. We didn't survive the 60s. I mean, America's future hangs like a loose tooth right now. The country is swaying like a loose tooth. No one knows if this country can be saved. So, I mean, why go into the whole story all over again? We know where we're at, James, but I appreciate the sentiment. And that's the story. See, here's the interesting thing about that caller, James. We are from two dissimilar worlds, two dissimilar backgrounds, and yet I resonate with them. How is that possible? Because when I started in radio, they said, oh, you're too New York. You'll never make it in radio. Your voice is too New York. Well, all right. Well, they were wrong. Were they ever wrong, right? So here we are. That's all God. We'll see what God brings tomorrow. That's all I know. We don't know, really. At the end of the day, God can do whatever he wants. You can think you're on top of the world 1 second. The next second, your feathers fall off and you're down on the, you know, you're on the ground. The feathers melt right off in the sun because you thought that they were put on with titanium rods, but they were really put on with wax. So you've got to be very careful. You know that Greek mythology. I love that Greek myth. The mythology of the young man who attached feathers to wooden wings and used wax. And the closer he flew to the sun, the more he felt like a god, until he got so close to the sun that the heat of the sun melted the wax. The feathers fell off the manufactured wings and he plummeted to earth. My father told me that story when I was 10. How did he know that? The man never went to college. Never went to college, but he knew things. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that the college education today is more like a brainwashing than it is an education. The trick is to have an open mind and read widely. That's the trick, and live widely, truthfully. If you live widely enough, you don't need to read a book. Although books do help, to be frank with you. There are things in books you'll never find in life. And that's something to remember. I mean, if you have read any of the books that opened my mind up when I was 17 and 16 years old, you'll come to understand what worlds open up to you in a book. Uneducated people don't often know that. They think, who needs books? I'm street smart. Well, that has its limits. You see the world through the brutish eyes of a survivor, which is very important. But there's certainly a lot more to the human condition than brute survival. And that's something called civilization. And that is something you cannot gain overnight. That's something you gain through a long period of time and a lot of hard work. That's what a college education should be. And that's what self-taught education is. And I don't think that that's explained enough to the children who go to college. I think they go to college to get a practical degree to make a living. That's very important. But the whole concept of culture, civilization, I think has been lost. It's been turned into nothing but a push for false gods and false idols based on trumped-up scientific... you get the picture. For example, global warming. 1 million new acres of sea ice developed over the last year. Have you seen that in any of your newspapers? No, because the Gorleone cartel, the Al Gorleone cartel, the global warming cartel, is so all-powerful that the newspapers continue to push the global warming cartel's views that we're living through this and the ice is melting and the Arctic is going to go away. All rubbish. All rubbish. 855-407-282. We're doing some nostalgia. We did. Did I do Hair on Men yet? No, let me take some calls now. Texas, Lynn, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Lynn?
Hi, Dr. Savage. You have been my intellectual stimuli since 2005, and everything my husband lacks, he fulfills. I love listening.
Wait, that's a little dangerous.
I feel like the
Greek guy in the laundromat. I hope your husband's not listening.
Oh, it would be okay even if he was. He knows he's kind of ignorant in matters, but college. He knows.
Yeah. He's good to you in important ways. I understand it.
Well, he's a good, loving, hardworking Texan. He graduated the fifth grade, and you were just making reference to people who he lives by his wits. But I must admit, he needs to open up quite a few books. But you,
I hope, is he listening to this, or is he out somewhere right now?
He'd be listening, and if he is, hello, sweetheart, it's me.
Oh, so you're using me now in a sort of a marital battle?
No.
It's like an open mic to a psychiatrist, a marriage counselor on the radio. But go ahead, I'm playing along. So what is it you want to say, Lynn? I'm just playing along with you. Go ahead.
So looking forward to you being on from 2 to 5 here in Central Standard Time. I have that time correct?
Right. It's different in Central Standard. I always say West and East. I'm always confused by the middle, the Central Standard Time. I get it mixed up every time.
Arizona doesn't change, which really throws me off, and I like it dark earlier too. I don't like them changing it. I just love the fact that you're going to that time slot, because what I do at night is I try to stay up to hear you live, but then there's a certain point I got to turn you off, so I turn you on the podcast when I'm showering the next morning through the Cumulus.
What you mean? You listen to me in the shower? Isn't there a risk of getting electrocuted?
I connect my iPod to the speaker, and I turn you on, and if I'm out of the shower, I zip through the commercials. I know they're your sponsors, but, you know, hey.
Oh, no, you can't do that, but, yeah. Well, okay, we got something new to look forward to, which is a new time slot coming up in January, God willing. I'm taking requests today on the Savage Nation, 855-497-2282, and I'll give you all the news, views, and reviews. And by the way, we have a guest at 7:30 with an amazing, hold on, this is terrible. The health department, there was a community picnic with a lot of guests eating organic food. Did you hear what your government did to them? They raided a picnic, and they said the food was not sustainable farming food, was not approved by the government. They took the food away from the people, and they destroyed all of the food at home, homegrown food, with bleach. This is exactly what a fascistic government does. And the woman whose picnic was destroyed by these government goons will join us on the Savage Nation at the bottom of the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So it reminds me of Louis and the Monkey story, which I told once. At most in my tenure on radio. We go back now, ladies and gentlemen, put on your resting cap. We're going to go back in time. We're going back to the Lower East Side of New York. Dad owns a small antiques mart. Little old Michael's cleaning bronzes in the back, and there's Louis the bum from the Bowery, who in those days, he was a drunk. He wasn't a bum. He worked. Dad would have him in on the weekends, and he'd clean the bronzes and whatever he did down there. I loved Louis. Louis was a great guy. But now you got to understand, this guy was a stoned alcoholic of the old school. Skinny like a rail. White guy, skinny like a rail, smoked like unfiltered cigarettes, but one of the nicest guys on earth. He wears the rubber apron, he's cleaning downstairs, does the bronzes. Then, of course, I took over because Dad wanted cheap child labor, and where else are you going to get it from his son, you know? So I'm doing the thing. So I got to know Louis over the years, and he taught me various things. Like once we had Louis over to the house, I'll never forget it. I was so proud that my father took this guy who I liked all the way out to Queens and invited him to dinner. I don't know what came over. Maybe it was Thanksgiving or whatever. And Louis had dinner with us at the table, and the guy was surprisingly erudite, and he knew things. And, like, after dinner, we did games, and Louis the drunk showed me how to bend nails. He showed me mind over matter. He took a nail, and he showed me that if you put your fingers, blah, 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 and put your mind on it and keep up the pressure, the nail would bend. I was shocked because I was a skinny kid with little hands, and I bent the nail. And he taught me mind over matter, but it was all molecular because you put the heat and the pressure, blah, 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 eventually that nail is going to bend. But I learned in life it's the same thing. It's all willpower, okay? Now there's another element to the story. So Louis is this kind of guy, interesting, but an alcoholic, and this and that. Years go by. He lives alone in Williamsburg. In those days, Williamsburg was like a slum, zero, you know, oilcloth city, leftover apartments from the last century. No one wanted to be there but the poor. So he lives there alone. He's very lonely. He gets a monkey. He wants a monkey. Now, out of the world, nobody in those days had a monkey. Dogs, yes. Cats, yes. No. Who had a monkey in those days? Louis gets a monkey. But Louis don't just get a spider monkey, one of the skinny little monkeys. Louis gets a woolly monkey. Now, woolly monkeys are already strong. They got a chest on them. They got strong hands. And Louis's in love with this monkey. For a couple of months, they're inseparable. Wherever he goes, there's the monkey, and the monkey's on his shoulder, and where he's cleaning, and he's happy. Now, Louis was the kind of guy that if he went to a bar on the Lower East Side, I remember the name to this day, named Hamill and Corn, whatever money he made for my father, he'd take 2 minutes later, he'd be in the bar, and he'd throw money in a jukebox, and he would whistle and sing, and he'd buy everyone drinks till he was broke. He'd stumble out in the street. He would get hit by a car, sleep on a barrel. He didn't care. He lived for the booze, and that was it, but he had a heart of gold. So Louis gets the monkey, finally has someone to fill his empty nights, and as I say, they were inseparable. Well, as time went on, we get a call. Louis's in the hospital. He's dying. What? The monkey went crazy in his apartment, attacked him, and almost ripped him to pieces. And he suffered for 6 months in the hospital. I don't know which hospital. Probably Bellevue, because that's where they all wound up. And the monkey went at him. And you don't know what a monkey's like when it goes crazy. You try to stop an enraged monkey without a weapon. He ripped his neck. He ripped his face. He ripped his arms. He ripped his leg. He ripped his crotch. He ripped his behind. Louis was ripped up pretty bad, and eventually he took the monkey. I think he grabbed it and threw it out of the window. It just shows you, if he hadn't have done it, he'd be dead today, okay? But a liberal today probably would have tried to talk to the monkey. Louis knew that the instincts had to kick in. It was him and the monkey, and he decided it was better him than the monkey. He didn't consult the liberal book on how to deal with a crazed monkey. He just fought with it and killed it. I think that's what the bottom line is here. But the point is that even a lonely drunk needs companionship at night. In his case, he found the monkey. It was probably the right thing for him to do. But it goes back to the story I opened with, which is that the monkeys are rampaging in India.
And we'll remix it into the CD, the Volume 4 of The Savage Nation. We'll end it right there and cut off the rampaging in India monkey part. That's a good story. You got to admit that. And there's nothing more to there is something more. There's an addendum to the Louis story. If you're interested, otherwise I won't tell it. One night he went out in the street on Rivington Street, Lower East Side, and he got hit by a car, a rusty fender. He got sepsis. He almost died. He won $40,000. The shyster lawyer came into my father's market, the ambulance chaser, got him $40,000, which is probably about $400,000 today. And he lived like a king. He got two bimmy women from the bar to move in with him. There's not much difference at any level of society. The guy made all this money, so what did he get? Two women, two bimmy women, two alcoholic women. They moved in with him, and they went through the money in about 4 months. And that was the end of that story. The last I heard of him, he was dead. That's life. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. At the end of the day, it's all the same. But as my mother would say, rich or poor, it's good to have money. I never knew what that meant until I got older. By the time I could figure it out, it was too late already to make that kind of money. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a minute with that story of the raid of the picnic where your government destroyed all the food with bleach because it wasn't approved picnic food.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, still going strong after 20 years. So now here's how you're going to define what your politics are. Many of you don't know what you are politically. I'm going to tell you a story through a guest. Here's the headline. Health Department raids community picnic and destroys all food with bleach. After you hear this woman's story, you tell me whether you want bigger government or smaller government. And then you will decide whether you are a Democrat socialist or an independent conservative. As am I, a borders, language, culture, savage conservative. Because if we don't stop this big government, we're going to have the ex-Soviet Union, which we're a hair away from, where they're spying on everyone, controlling what you think, what you say, what you eat, what you drink, what you do, what you can't do. Is that the government that you want? Is that the country you want to live in? I don't. So now we go to the guest, Laura Bledsoe. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Laura, we don't know each other. Is that correct?
That's right.
Now, I read this story that you were having a community picnic in Nevada and that a Southern Nevada Health District employee came for an inspection. Is that what happened?
Yes. We have a little farm out here just outside of Las Vegas, and we were having a celebration of the harvest and wanted to invite my community to my dinner and advertise to come to a farm-to-fork dinner right on the farm, and didn't know that I needed to get a health permit to have dinner in my backyard.
What is that about? It says, as guests were mingling, finishing tours of the farm, and while the first course of the meal was being prepared, a Southern Nevada Health District employee came for an inspection. Why?
Well, we had advertised this this event and didn't, as I said, didn't realize that I would need to get the health department involved. And so they found out about it, about the dinner, and contacted us a few days before and informed us in quite the opposite that we did need to come and pay a fee. And
oh, they wanted to tax you for giving away food?
Well, I mean, it wasn't given away. We did charge for it, and this is the interesting thing. If we hadn't charged for it, there would be no health concern at all. The minute,
so it's all about taxation. It's just about the criminals who run your state who wanted to dip their beak into your little homegrown food party. It's just the criminal syndicate called the Tax Board, which is no different than any other criminal syndicate trying to take away something that is not theirs to take. Was this homegrown food?
It was. It was homegrown right on our farm. In fact, that was the advertisement. It was a 0 mile footprint that was, you know, grown on the farm, prepared on the farm, served on the farm. And it was exquisite food. We had a professional chef, a good friend, come and prepare this food. It was a white linen dinner, candlelight dinner, with several courses.
So it says, in order to overcome any trouble with the health department of cooking on the premises, most of the food was prepared in a certified kitchen in Las Vegas. And to further remove any doubt, we rented a certified kitchen trailer to be here on the farm for the preparation of the meals. But the inspector, Mary Oakes, came out and told you your food was unfit for consumption and demanded you call off the picnic in the middle of it?
Here was the problem. So we complied. We went and filled out the permit. They told us that part of the permit was an inspection of the premises. I told my chef. He said, don't worry. I deal with them all the time. No problem. But it became apparent, not only did the inspection happen, as you said, right as our guests were showing up and touring the farm and waiting literally for the appetizers to go out. And it was very clear that this inspector was on a mission. She was on an agenda to shut us down from the get-go. She was shocked that we had the certified kitchen and we had done all of these things that you know, we figured she would be looking for. But here was the issue, the biggest issue. She tried to find fault with many things, and this is what she found fault with, that our meat was not processed in a USDA facility.
Oh, the government didn't stamp it. I see. The government didn't stamp it and tax it, in other words.
Yes, correct.
Oh.
Correct. And so we were, but then...
You, in your article, it says even the vegetables prepared in advance had to be thrown out because they were cut and were then considered a biohazard.
Just ridiculous. It was just all we could do. And
so they took the mint lamb meatballs and they threw it into a trash can while the guests were there, some of whom had come from long distances, anticipating a wonderful dining experience. And after hours and hours of planning, preparation, and labor, the government of Nevada did this to you?
Yes. Yeah, it was a horrific experience.
Did they threaten to arrest you as well?
We run a little organic farm. You know, we were a community supported agriculture. We support some farmers markets and just trying to serve the community. And we work very, very hard to keep the fertility and to keep.
Of course you do. I'm into organic food, but Laura, for the listeners of the show, after they threw your food out, they said it wasn't even fit to be compost or animal feed.
Well, no, they did not. The situation was this. They said, we could not serve this food. We said, okay, fine. I was very upset about it, but I said, fine. We're going to have a family function the next day. At least allow me to keep this food that I grew and as part of our farm for my family. And they said, absolutely not.
But who is this little Nazi to tell you that? Who is this little fascist Nazi with a badge from the state of Nevada to come to your property, private property, and tell you what the hell you can grow and eat? Who the hell is she?
Absolutely. That's a good question. And here's...
This little Nazi should be thrown in jail for what she does, this little bull Nazi.
These health department people are not elected into office, and we cannot elect them out of office. And
well, you need a good lawyer to sue the this woman personally, and to sue the county or the state. Was this the county or the state that did this to you?
It was the Southern Utah. It was like the county.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a congressman? I know you're listening to me in Las Vegas on the affiliate KBETAM in Las Vegas. You surely have a congressperson, don't you?
Well, here was the interesting thing is that, yeah, after this event went out, I wrote this letter to my shareholders about this whole experience that had happened, and they sent it out on the Internet, and it has literally crossed around the world. It is amazing the interest that this little story has had. Well, I was happy to just let it go and let this story, you know, be done and go back to farming. But it was actually my Nevada legislators found out about what had happened, and many of them contacted us and said, hey, you know, what can we do about this?
Oh, that's wonderful. Participatory democracy in action. But has this little fascist Nazi been arrested or thrown out of her job or a pension seized, Miss Mary Oaks?
I don't believe so. I do not think, however, I don't know for sure, but I don't know if she's still working at Southern Nevada Health District.
Well, I read here, listen to this. The battles are started by government officials swooping down on farms and farmers like SWAT teams, confiscating not only the wholesome food items produced, but even their farm equipment, some of them actually wearing hazmat suits as if they were walking into a nuclear meltdown. This is what's going on now in our country under this fascistic Stalinist government?
Good wholesome food is under attack throughout the nation. Absolutely. And this is where the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, I was a member of theirs, thinking that I was helping the poor Amish, you know, dairymen in the Midwest, and never, ever thinking I would need to make that phone call and ask for...
Well, remember what they did to the Amish. The Nazis in our country. The Amish man who cut someone's beard was sent to jail for 19 years by our wonderful, sympathetic government. We're living in a crypto-fascist government. That is what we're all living in. And you don't, I mean, you're telling a story, and I had you on the Savage Nation because I don't believe people around America can believe what you're actually saying. If I told a story, they think I made it up.
Well,
and by the way, young lady, isn't it true that this happens to others? This is not the only time a picnic was raided by the little fascist Nazi bulls in these departments?
My story pales in comparison to what's happening across the nation.
What do you mean?
Pales. You know, I used my Fourth Amendment right and kicked her off my property, and life went on. There are dairymen across the nation who are having literally the SWAT teams coming in, confiscating their cheese making equipment.
Well, that's right, because they don't have the guts to attack the gangs selling drugs in the inner cities. So all the brave men with bulletproof vests and bomb cars attack dairy farmers.
Here's the bottom line. I told my guests, you know, my guests, of course, that night were outraged when they found out what happened, absolutely outraged. And here was the thing. Their food was destroyed, and they didn't have the choice. They knew where that food had come from. They knew where it was prepared. That's why they paid good money to come out and have it, exactly for that reason.
Laura, you know what? You've experienced a fascistic bullying government. We hear about bullying. If this is not the definition of what a bullying government is, what is? So, Laura, where do you stand now? They destroyed your food with bleach. They wouldn't even let you feed it to animals. That sounds like a spiteful act from this little Nazi fascist. Where do you stand today?
It was a power play, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but are you still growing food?
Absolutely. Yes, we absolutely
are. And is the ATF watching you with binoculars?
Important.
Is the ATF spying on you with binoculars from 1,000 yards away, perhaps ready to do a Waco on you, burn your farm down because you didn't put a tax stamp on your milk?
Well, here's the thing. Thanks to people like you and this story that went around the world, the Southern Nevada Health District wants nothing to do with us right now. They have received so much bad publicity, and rightfully so.
What about the good Senator Harry Reid? Has he been notified of this act in his turf?
You know, I have not worked with Harry Reid on this issue.
Yeah, I think he'd be outraged by this since he's a native Nevadan. I think he would find this outrageous.
But then one never knows what a minion of the increasingly and encroachingly horrendous government might think. We don't know. Laura, is there a good ending to this story?
There is a good ending to the story. It has yet to be, because this bit does go on throughout the nation. However, I believe that the more of us that are educated and aware and are making the choices that, I mean, people are buying raw milk through the black market. You know, it's ridiculous. But
the government didn't approve the raw milk. It didn't go through the homogenization and pasteurization necessary to destroy the milk. I get it.
Same with the USDA meats and such, but as long as we will put our dollars where we want them to go, it will become what's important to us becomes important to the lawmakers when they see the flow of money. Unfortunately, that's the way.
So it's all about taxation. There's really what I'm hearing is it's a government that not only wants to control the growing of food, like the way they want to control children in schools, they oppose homeschool children. They oppose homegrown food. They oppose anything that the individual does because they get no taxation and no control out of it. That is what a centralized government does. That is what went on in Stalin's Russia until eventually the farming system collapsed and 30 million Russians died because they could no longer grow the food. That's a very important story, is that they crushed the farmers to the extent that the government said, we'll grow the food because we can do a better job. And there was massive starvation in the 1930s in Russia as a result, and 30 million Russians starved to death once the government bureaucrats under Stalin took over the farms. So I congratulate all the organic and small farmers out there. It's the salvation of America. And Laura Bledsoe, thanks for telling your story tonight on the Savage Nation.
It's a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. You're a very brave lady. Now, there's your story. Now, before I take a break, ask yourself a simple question. Do you approve of what the government did? Then you're a man who loves Obama and big government. Do you find what the government did disgusting, outrageous, and that the government agent should be arrested? Then you're an independent conservative like Michael Savage. It's that simple. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So there was an example of a government out of control. And you say, well, it's not all government. No, it isn't all government workers. But where do they get the audacity to step out of line like that? Who encourages that kind of behavior? Well, it's the imperiousness of Harry Reid that would encourage that behavior. It's the imperiousness of Obama that would encourage that behavior. Because if there was a leader at the top who says, that's not allowed, that's not permitted, that's not what I want, all the way down the line, the little bureaucrats behave differently. The bullies who take government jobs learn from the people above them. You get it? And that's why you have to fight this intrusive, imperious government. It's a new word, imperiousness and imperious. It's a good word, and you can see the root of it is imperial, and you know what that means, right? Of course, the root of the word fascist is also interesting. Fascia means stick, and it derives from the Romans who used, actually, they wore sticks. They actually had sticks on their little uniforms. It was like a billy stick, a billy club, and they used them to beat the people into submission. In America, they use the laws to beat people into submission. In America, Obama uses the law to beat you into submission. Obamacare is an example of the big stick. And, of course, it was jammed down our throats with every kind of chicanery known to the political system. And now people are seeing why there is such a hullabaloo about Castro care. They sense it's all wrong, all bad, and no good. And we knew this from day one. I wrote about it in Trickle of Poverty. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. And some of you got it from other sources as well. Diana on WABC in New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Michael, I am so glad that you're going on WABC because I listen to you every night. I don't even...
Well, I'm on WABC, but I'm going on earlier come January.
Well, I know. After 2 hours, I felt bad. I said, gee, I wish you was on a little longer. And now I finally, my dreams came true. I'm really.
So you're going to change your listening habits, Diana, and get it during the day, I assume?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I'll follow you no matter where you are.
Thank you. Diana, I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. Stay on the line. Let's go to the nation's capital on the incredible powerhouse WMAL in Washington. Maybe we can wake up some of the somnambulists who are doing this to us. Tom on WMAL, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage.
Tom, you're on the air.
Oh, great. I've been waiting to talk to you forever. I'm being, like, inundated with ideas. Okay, well, let me tell you the first thing is that about 2 months ago, a friend of mine, I deliver pizza during the day, and I'm working on my master's in psychology during the night. And so I'm dropping all the time. And a friend of mine was like, you've got to listen to Savage. All right, so I decided I was going to listen to Savage, and immediately I thought you were sort of like a pompous jerk because you come across as this guy who thinks he knows everything. And then as time went on, I realized you kind of are this guy who knows everything.
Oh, my God. What if you're right about so many things? Should you hide it?
I don't know, but can I jump back?
No, you see, here's the thing. Politicians think they know everything, but they pretend that they don't, and they play the humble game. And they use the old archaic phraseology of 19th century parliamentarians in England. I suppose, it's academic, in other words. I would suspect that, I suppose that if you wish to do this, they don't mean that at all. They're the most pompous jerks on the planet who think they know it all. And look how well that's worked out for us in the Middle East, whether it be Hillary Clinton or John Kerry. But listen to their pomposity, and they sound as though they really are just Mr. and Mrs. Humble. But you know very well that they burn a country to the ground for a pipeline. Anyway, listen, I really respect anyone who works delivering pizza and is working for a master's degree. I worked 3 jobs to get my PhD while having a young family. And let me tell you, it's worth every minute of it. There's no substitution for hard work. And there's no payoff greater than having worked hard for what you have. Nobody likes what's given to them for nothing. Which is why the illegal immigrants spit on our flag. They're laughing at you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation for September 26th, 2013. This is hour number 3. You heard the big news. Cumulus Radio has announced Savage's move to Drive Time, taking over Sean Hannity's slot beginning January of 2014. It's a huge story. Savage moving to Drive Time, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 on the West Coast. You can read all about it on michaelsavage.com. Now, there's all sorts of news going on. Obama's campaign chief has joined the board of a firm that received millions in federal money. Corruption, anyone? Meanwhile, California lawmakers move to shield illegal aliens from the police. Can you believe this? Can you believe which side the so-called lawmakers are on? Maybe they ought to read the article called Why Psychopaths Lack Empathy. Meanwhile, there are heartbreaking stories in the world. In Africa, poachers have poisoned 90 elephants with cyanide inside a Zimbabwe wildlife park. Do you understand that there are people without souls? Meanwhile, Kerry, well, I don't know why I linked the two together. Kerry signs a UN arms treaty. I don't know what's a worse story, poisoning 90 elephants with cyanide or poisoning the Second Amendment in America. Today on the Savage Nation, because we are celebrating the announcement of the change of time, of Savage moving to Sean Hannity's slot beginning in January, we're again doing the Savage Nation Golden Oldies, some of the greatest hits, which include My Trip to Starbucks, What an Unfortunate Decision, Teddy and the Blanket, where he treats the blanket like a wife, Life Sucks and You Die, The Nympho Story in Alley Pond Park, Hair on Men, Especially in Their Noses, Louis and the Crazy Monkey, Shadows on the Wall, Tippy the Dog, who let people into my home when I was a boy but wouldn't let them out. Bloodletting and tipping. It came to my mind when I went to a lab for a blood test. And then finally today, another treat for you, Tree of Knowledge and Poodles. What does that mean? Well, how about acupuncture and the sorter?
855-400-7282. What I've done for you today, I'm not going to talk about the wall banger. I know many of you want me to call the wall banger by his name or the leprechaun by his name. I won't do it. I refuse to call O'Reilly the leprechaun or Hannity the wall banger. It's just not up to my standards. I won't do it. Of course, O'Reilly is the leprechaun in that he got where he's gotten by pretending to be conservative. And then he came out in favor of virtually everything that Obama wants or McCain wants. I don't know if it's something in the shillelagh, but why is it that O'Reilly and McCain see the world the same way, which is the Obama way? Can anyone explain that? Look, we know the news is horrible. It's disgusting. It's a nightmare out there. Americans reject by 61% Obama call for clean debt vote in poll. If you could figure out what that means, you deserve a PhD in deconstructing Bloomberg News. Americans reject by 61% Obama call for clean debt vote in poll? What? What that means is Americans, by a 2-to-1 ratio, reject Obama's contention that Congress should raise the U.S. debt limit without conditions. That's all I'm going to say about the news tonight. Because it's boring. When you went to high school, you went to college, did you like teachers who went on and on and on about any topic? I don't care what the topic was. I didn't. So I can't do it on the radio. First of all, it bores me. Secondly, it'll bore you. So that's all there is to it. If you get a comment on my funny names for my peers, 855-407-282. Yes, yes, yes. People think it's just talk. Oh, someone doesn't like here. I used to listen to Savage nightly until he started down the slippery slope, calling other talk shows names and putting them down. As if he's God's gift to radio. There's no need to name call his peers, and to me shows lack of intelligence and low self-esteem. But Savage knows no bounds. If he straightens up, I'll be glad to come back. I tried to listen to him last night, but couldn't take him putting anyone down. Yeah, all right. I know no bounds. That's my beauty. I know no bounds. I always said, no matter how long it takes me, I'm going to wind up in the winner's circle. 20 years in the making. By the way, hello, Isaac. There's a little boy, a friend of my friend has a lovely little boy who's under the age of 5 who listens to the show, and he likes when I mention Teddy. So, Isaac, hello, how are you? Let's go to WMAL in Washington. Julie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you are absolutely right. And I am that person who, when they brought you to WMAL, I thought, who is this bombastic person? Because I was a little turned off when I first started to listen. But the more I started to listen and pay attention, I found you to be absolutely delightful. Number one, you're a poet. And you're a master linguist. And I loved to listen to you just tell the story, whatever the story was of the day, whether it was the story about politics or whether the story was about your life.
You used an interesting word. You said linguist. You're a master linguist. You get it. Many people don't hear the language skills. They hear a longshoreman talking on the radio, and they say, who the heck is this guy? They don't actually listen to the words. They're used to the silver-tongued, middle-American voice that says nothing to them or leads them astray. George on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, George?
Good evening, Michael. First, let me give you my sincerest, heartfelt congratulations. It's a wonderful thing that's happening to you.
That's very nice, and it is. It is. I feel a little dizzy. I got to tell you, in all the years I've done radio, I'm slightly intimidated. Do you know that, George?
Yes, I understand that. I hear the excitement in your voice, but the reason I called, Michael, is maybe you don't realize how cosmic this move is with regard to you. I am a kindred spirit, old white dude, first-generation American. And I think you are being steered to be the steward to help save our country.
If one man could do it, it wouldn't be me, because I'm not the man on the white horse. I'm an average American who's worked very hard, highly educated. I've had many impediments that I've overcome. The fact of the matter is, though, it's going to take more than one man to steer this country back on course. We've hit the iceberg. The ship has been taking on water an awfully long time. And there is no captain at the helm, my friend. The officers have all jumped ship, they're in their own lifeboats. So it's going to take more than one man to save this nation. We better get to work. That's all I can say. Again, my prediction was that I'd be taking over the Drive Time East Coast slot. It's official. It's official that the Savage Nation will move to the highly coveted 3 p. to 6 p. Eastern Time slot beginning in January 2014, bringing my unique brand of news, views, and reviews to Afternoon Drive on the East Coast and 12 to 3 on the West Coast on top radio stations nationwide. Cumulus owns beachfront real estate and radio. Nobody beats these stations. An old wall banger, he'll still be there, but he's not going to be on the beach. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I love you. So as you can see, it's a little in the lighter mood tonight. I can't call it open mic to mic, but it is. I'm taking requests. You heard all of the rest today. Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay. Obamacare, this. It's like talking about cancer day and night. When I hear the word Obamacare, I feel like someone's like talking about a disease. Right? I don't want to hear about a disease. It's horrible day and night. Let others do it. Actually, it's nice to let them do it. Now that I think about it, let them eat their hearts out with it. This guy is a diehard Leninist. I've written book after book about it, showing you his roots, who he is, what he is. He hasn't developed. He hasn't grown. He has not left any of his desire to control everything from a centralized vantage point. This man is still into central power, central control. The people are nothing. What can I say about it? They're supposed to be an opposition party. The people are supposed to have a voice in their own government. I loved hearing some guy on television today. I forget who he was. I think Andrew Young, former UN ambassador, giving an interview. I never cared for Andrew Young because he was a little too pro-Palestinian for me. He was talking about Iran, and he said, well, Iran, he's talking about the era of the Shah, and he said, you know, in Shah at the time, there was a lot of dissent while the Shah was in power because the middle class in Iran at that time increasingly had no voice in their government. And he went right over it. I said, oh, my God, you mean like now, Andrew, under your man, Barack Obama, where the middle class has no say in their government? Do you realize that these people talk and don't even understand what they're saying? The middle class in this country, the working class, in other words, like you and I, make no mistake about it, we're the working class. We have no say in our government. We said no to Obamacare. We said no to illegal aliens. I can name 10 things we said no to. No to surveillance on us. No to spying on us. Stop controlling us. Stop telling us what to think wherever we turn. We have a say in our government. We're very much the disturbed middle class of Iran before the Shah fell. But I warn you, what came after the Shah was far worse. It was cancer on Ayatollah Khomeini. And Obama is very much like a dictator of that time in Iran at that time. Either he doesn't really know that the people don't love him, or he internally knows it and could care less because he's got the newspapers and the TV, and they tell the people what he wants them to say. So that's why I can't do politics every day. There's a limit to it. Let me take some calls. Rochester, New York, WHAM. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Dr. Savage. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
As you were asking about requests, I have a request since you're playing oldies. How about a fourth best of CD for all of us to have since it's been several years since the last one?
I did three of them in the 1990s, in the mid-90s, and never did another one. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. I think that with the new audience, I should put out a new CD with many of the stories that I'm replaying tonight and others, and put them on a new CD maybe for Christmas. I could probably do that quickly and get something out for the holidays. That might be fun. Now, is this talk radio what I'm doing for you right now? Yes or no? Is this what you want to hear? What do you want me to do? Obamacare no good. Obamacare terrible. Sky is falling. Republicans must attack. Get out your bayonets. Hey, maybe that's all true, but it doesn't mean it has to be the only thing that's going to talk about on talk radio. You get it? It's as simple as that. So I'm doing a request today of anything you want, and you can see already where my head's going. And here's the beauty of talk radio, if you must know. When the clock struck 6 on the West Coast, or 9 on the East Coast, I was exhausted. I was dead. All I wanted to do was say, why am I doing radio tonight? I'm tired. We just made the announcement. It's the Sisyphus thing. I pushed the boulder up the hill. I can't go to the bottom of the hill and push it back up tonight. I'm tired. So I said, okay, what do I want to do? I want to do what? I want to go and drink or eat? What do people do at night, normal people? Eat and drink. I'd weigh 270 pounds if I did that. I'm lean now. I'm like 150, 155. I'm in almost fighting trim. By January, I'm going to be even better. I got a whole new weightlifting regimen. I don't lift them at all. My new weightlifting regimen is I don't lift them. I hate weightlifting. You know that I was very early on in the weightlifting. I remember the American Health Studios on Jamaica Avenue under the L in Queens. It was a hot thing. I was in high school. I was a little kid. And I really wanted to be that kid who didn't get the sand kicked in his face anymore. So I started going to them every day after high school. Like a religion. It was the first weightlifting studios that had mirrors and chrome. It wasn't like an ugly garage, you know, Joe Weider, you know, iron. And it was very, you know, it had protein pills that I kept. I didn't know what was in it. They tasted like maltodextrin. I thought that was protein. My mother's, you know, eggs in the morning were a better source of protein. So I was popping the pills, and I was working out, and I was getting very strong. There's a great story attached to the American Health Studios. Anyway, I worked out for years, then I gave it up. But I've always had dumbbells in my radio studios. You ask anyone. Early days at KSFO, 1994, I had a set of two 10-pounders, and I'd work out to just aerate my brain and lungs. And I still do. But now here's something interesting. I've reduced it to 2.5-pound dumbbells, which I use super high reps all the time, walk around. So I'm getting that leaner feeling rather than I don't have to bulk up and look like a movie star trying to look tough. I'm not a movie guy. What is this thing with tattoos on the neck for? Why is everyone trying to look like a Russian gangster who just came out of a prison? They wouldn't survive 1 second in a Russian prison. To me, it's like a dangerous thing to walk around with tattoos that make you look tough when you're not. What is that all about? If you're really a tough guy, okay, wear your tattoos. Wear them proudly. The worst thing, though, are the actors who pretend to be tough who have tattoos, and they're not tough. I don't get that. So I don't do the barbell thing. So here we are. So I'm in the gym. Never forget this one. Storytelling night. Okay, and I'm very energized, by the way. That's the sum total of the story. I was exhausted before the show. Wanted to just, like, lay down. I said, you can't lay down. You got a show to do. Now I'm full of energy. I'm running at about 75-78% right now. I can feel it. If there was a digital meter in my being, I'm running at about 78% of my energy. It's flowing. My mind is working. The mind-tongue connection is good. Everything's flowing. It's working. I feel great and energized. Why? You, the audience, the show topics. It's a different thing. Radio is very energizing. You got to understand that. If you're a performing artist, as all talk show hosts who are good are, they may be politically oriented, but if they're really good at what they do, they're performing artists. If you really get into your performance, it will move you, and it gives you the energy that you're looking for. In the gym, there was a guy named Al. He was Italian. He wasn't much taller than me, but he was really, I'm talking weightlifter, real, the heavy-duty, 21-inch bicep, the thin stomach, the lats, the pecs, the this, the that, the washboard stomach. He was mean and tough-looking, but he was a bully. And he picked on me because I was a little kid trying to build myself up. And he was like the gym manager. So the story is, every day he'd do something to put me down or pick on me. You know that kind of guy. All right, you live with it. Big deal. I'm going to go cry and call it, blow a whistle. You don't. You live with it. Bullying is part of life, especially if you're a boy. You got to learn to be bullied. As we all know, the only way to stop being pushed around is to start pushing back. And the only way to learn to push back is to stop wanting someone to come to your aid, you know, like a big sis or big daddy. So Al, certainly I didn't say I'm going to beat him up. That's not what happened. But listen to me. This is an incredible story. Al grabs me in front of everybody, puts his arms around me, almost in an embrace. It was like a weird, you know, something else going on. But he wasn't embracing me in an affectionate manner. It was to control me in an almost a jujitsu lock to turn me into a, you know, a victim. I have no idea how or why, but I turned a certain way, pushed a certain way. He wound up on the floor rolling. I wound up standing, and everyone laughed at him. And I looked at his face. I'll never forget as long as I live the look of Al the macho weightlifter rolling on the floor with a red face and an embarrassed look. And guess what? He never touched me again. Never. Maybe he thought I knew some secret judo. I don't know, but that's a little... Like what am I? It is the Savage Nation. The day after the New Year's Eve party we had yesterday. I'm a bit of a psychological hangover, I'll be honest with you. I pushed this boulder up the hill for a year, and here I am, and here you are, and the phone number is 855-400-7282. For Democrats, it's 400 Savage because you're so much smarter that you don't need the numerals. Anyway, guys, listen, here's the story. The story came out yesterday, biggest shakeup in talk radio history. Savage to take over Hannity's 3 to 6 p.m. slot on Cumulus Network beginning in January. It's huge news. It was on Drudge. It's been in the daily news, all the trades. And people are responding in the usual ways. The fans, great. The detractors, hate. And, it goes on and on. But here's one that I saw from someone that I thought was interesting. They said, talk radio could use some different people besides the same tired old mouthpieces. People like H&L won't say anything that sounds controversial, like protecting America's national identity, fighting against globalism. They're too closely tied to the RNC to say anything out of bounds. Otherwise, whatever, you get the picture. It says, it's just the same old sanitized political messages from those people. Another one writes, I wonder if the doc had Chinese food today. Another one says, I hate him, I'm not going to listen to him. The next guy says, Dr. Savage would tell you not to listen to him. And then the other one says, I think Michael Savage is great, but he has his off days to be sure, but he's mostly on. I find him a lot more stimulating than the Republicans, good, Democrats, bad. Another one says, he couldn't understand what I was saying because he didn't go to the first grade. And so I'm a little tired tonight. As the boulder went over the hill, and I'm not ready to go on the other side of the hill and push it up the hill. By the way, it was very interesting to see that the Daily News picked up my the story. And they almost didn't put me down in a full way. It was an interesting change for them. I got to read you one line from it because, I'm originally from New York, so the Daily News, I read it every day. I grew up on the Daily News, the Post, Journal American. The Times was for the intellectual geniuses who worked in accounting somewhere in Manhattan. The rest of us who were blue-collar and, whatever, we read the news, we read the Post, we folded it a certain way in the subway. Michael Savage to take over Sean Hannity's radio slot, says David Hinckley of the New York Daily News. But this is the interesting part. Here's what he wrote. The hot-blooded host announced Wednesday that he would have Hannity's 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. spot on Cumulus Radio next year, including WABC 770 a.m. in New York. That's interesting. But then they said something. I'm hot-blooded now. There's another line in here. It says there's something about my New York roots. I want to see the root part. Savage originally from New York. Here it is. Savage, a New Yorker whose show is based in San Francisco. I like that. I like it. I moved out of New York in 1968, but I'm still a New Yorker. Isn't that great? Savage, a New Yorker whose show is based in San Francisco, is currently heard on WABC in the evenings. His fiery socio-political commentary, which he intersperses with long monologues on food, travel, and lifestyle issues, has earned him several million listeners a week. That is true. What more do you need to know? That's all. That's the whole story. What else is there to say? Yeah, they're going into his real name. Like, I should be ashamed of my real PhD and my real 18 books in science. Schmuck. Idiot. Anti-Semites, all of you. What do I care what you say about me? I'm proud of my name. Period. What are you? You proud of your name? Beating up old men in laundromats, are you? You see that sound? Did you see that piece on the Drudge Report today? It just shows you that this poor old 75-year... Did you see it? You got to find this. Laundry rage. Suspect arrested for laundry rage attack on 75-year-old retiree. Where else? Florida. Florida. The guy is 75. He's a little old Greek guy in the laundromat with his wife, and he goes to use a dryer, and some putz, 55, much bigger than him and younger, tells him it's his dryer. He can't use it. Now, there's nothing in the dryer yet. One word leads to another. He knocks the poor 75-year-old to the ground. The 75-year-old goes for his phone. The guy who beat him up picks up the phone, throws it, and breaks it. Then the little guy, the little Greek, gets up again. He knocks him to the ground again. Now, I wish that this ended another way. I wish the little old Greek guy had pulled the Zimmerman on the thug. That would have been a happy ending. That would have been a real happy ending massage. You know what I'm saying? 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers. Mary in Chicago, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to call and congratulate you. I am so excited that you are coming to WLS. This is a long time coming, dude.
Oh, I've never been on WLS.
Oh.
WLS has been a goal of mine from the day I entered radio. A couple of reasons. Chicago is a phenomenal market. I think the way people think in Chicago, at least the average person, the working person, I talk a language, a lingua franca as it is, that they understand. And I know that I was once on a station in Chicago, a small station, and my ratings were through the roof. I really look forward to that move.
Oh, I look forward to you, and I bet you a bunch of people do, too. I have to catch you through the Internet or whatever, but I've been chasing you for years because I just love you. You're great. You tell it the way it is. You're right on. So,
Mary, stay in line. I'm going to send you a copy of my novel, A Time for War. What a very sincere voice. Beautiful. You know, one of the things I'm looking forward to is the earlier slot for a number of reasons. I've not led a normal life since I started the late show. It's impossible to go to dinner. If you're on the radio on the West Coast, where I live most of the time, from 6 to 9, it's real hard with the adrenaline being as high as it is to go out to dinner. It's impossible. And I'm usually reclusively alone with my dog after a show, just getting over the adrenaline kick of the radio show. It's very hard to eat. I don't drink much anymore. I can't have a drink. It's just too high. The adrenaline's too high. Now, here's the beauty. I have a place in Florida that I have not been to but a few days this entire year. Why don't I go to Florida? Because I can't do a show late at night. It's too late for me to be on the air live at 9 o'clock. To perform that late is almost impossible for me. My energy peaks much earlier in the day. My energy at 12 noon in my West Coast slot is at an amazing high of energy. At 3 o'clock, it's my normal time slot for the highest energy of the day because that's the way I'm constituted. And I did radio for 17 years in that time slot, 16, 17 years. And so it's a natural time slot for me. And I'll tell you something else. I remember when I went to college, I was not a good student in high school. And I had to go to what was called night school at Queens College. I couldn't get into day school because my grades weren't that good. My mind was all over the place. My father had gotten sick. I had to run a store. My mind was everywhere else. So I didn't do well in high school. I went to Queens College in what was known as afternoon session. I swear to God. And it began around 3 o'clock. Well, I got all A's. I took to college like a duck to water. I loved it. I loved the freedom. I loved the exploration of ideas. I found that I was not stupid. And I thrived in that time slot. And I've always found that the afternoons are the best time for me. Always. And the radio has proven it. It's that simple. And again, I want to tell you this, saying, well, who knows how he'll do this and that. It doesn't matter to me. In one way it does, in one way it doesn't. Do you understand that the victory is the victory, that you can live for ratings and you can die for ratings, or you can live for a great show and let it go at that? I live to perform. I live to express myself. You know where my politics are at. I defined it in three words: borders, language, and culture. I don't have to write another book for you to understand where I'm coming from. And if I do politics every day, I will do politics, by and large, on a regular basis. I won't do it for 3 hours. I can't. Why? Because I'm not that interested in 3 hours of the same thing. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school. I'm not a monodimensional didactic thinker. My mind is discursive. The versatility of my background makes me want to talk about other things, for God's sakes. There are other things than Ted Cruz and John Boehner and Harry Reid and Barack Obama. Yes, they're important, but we can't turn them into the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's a whole world of science, art, poetry, film, literature out there. How can you define yourself by these clowns? Now, look, I created Borders, Language, and Culture as what defines a nation. I defined what it is to be an independent conservative long before anyone knew what it was. But I don't know that that was the reason. Yeah, I'm considered the Mark Twain of radio. I understand that. And my versatility is famous in radio. But it could be my meatball recipe. That could be it. But I feel as though I've announced that I won a Nobel, a MacArthur, and a Pulitzer all in one. It's a confirmation, an affirmation, elevation all at once. And what we put together for you is a short montage of the golden oldies of the Savage Nation. Let's hear it. I met with my kitchen cabinet last night while cooking a light dinner. As I drank the Bordeaux, I consulted with my chief advisor, Teddy, a 10-pound gray poodle. In my kitchen cabinet with us were Plato, Moses, Jesus, John Locke, George Washington, Lincoln, Patton, and God. Here's what my kitchen cabinet recommended for rescuing America. I think my dog has an itching attack from watching Will Blitzer, because he wants to see the man arrested for sedition and deported. We will not be out of Iraq in 07. We will not be out of Iraq in 08 for one reason. $2 billion a week of taxpayer money goes into Iraq for reconstruction and military funding. Predominantly, Saddam's too quick execution eventually will be seen as a cover-up to protect certain U.S. and European leaders because dead man can't talk. I'm going to prove something to you right now. This is a daring act I'm about to perform, which is I'm going to read the label on a box of bullets, 380 auto, 90 grain bullets, and I'm going to show you that I can even make that interesting.
Reminds me of like the Moses story, you know. I have chosen you to cross the red. I don't want to go, man. I don't want to do this. Why are you picking on me? My ear hurts. I'm a little hunch. I'm too old to lead the people across the Red Sea. No, I have chosen you. You must go. But I'm not the right guy, man. Get Charlton Heston.
The Australian election was won in a huge plurality by Howard, the conservative. This should be the main story in every newspaper, because what it says is Bush is going to win, and I'm going to make this prediction right now. No one wants to make a prediction. I'll make a prediction. Bush wins. Let me explain it. I go on this site, Google Earth. You can punch in any address. The globe spins. The next thing you know, it's like zooming down to the Bronx where I lived on a street when I was a kid. Then I punch in Hawaii, and then the globe turns, and suddenly the satellite image picks up a house I lived in Hawaii. Then it zooms back to California to the places I'm in. And I said, this is unbelievable to me. There's no privacy left. How long could this go on? How many days can they do this to us? Who gives a damn? Gerald Ford was a schmuck. The accidental president. Number one, accidental president, a liberal through and through. We're now hearing what? The Jews and Methodists and Muslims and Buddhists are not full people because they haven't accepted Christ? This is an amazing statement. It's unacceptable to me. You see, I don't see the world that way, and I've said that to you before. I may as well tell you how I see the world if you want to know one man's opinion. You know, I made a prediction on this show yesterday that I'll repeat right now so that you can mark it down. Savage predicts a Reichstag fire-like event sometime within the next year or two in America that will have been conducted by the government and blamed upon subversive elements. If you think I'm making this up, you're right, I'm making it up. But I'm not making it up out of whole cloth. I'm making it up out of historical cloth.
That's a good coming attraction. By looking back, we can look forward to what might be coming up on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
855-407-282. What would you like me to do? Okay, science, poetry, art, literature, women's clothing, shoes, men's fashions through the ages. I once done a whole segment on my show about women's shoes in a museum, and I think it was a popular show. Why must we talk about Obama and the budget and whatever, Obamacare, day in and day out and day in and day out? I can't take it. Can I ask you something? Is Obama and Harry Reid and Ted Cruz, are they the sun, the moon, and the stars? Do you realize how limiting you are in your own mind if that's all you think about? If that's all you think about and all you talk about, it limits your mind. The world is an amazingly large place. You have any idea what else there is in the world to talk about? So, you know, I'm going to ask you that question, the diehards. I'm never going to just talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars, meaning the political class. They bore the socks off me. They bore me to death. I can't talk about them. They're not the most important people on earth. Yes, they have a great deal of power over us. I agree. But I'm not going to talk. Does it mean I have to talk about them? I'd rather not. You know, when there's a big news story related to them, sure. And, of course, whether it's Christie's waistline or whatever, you know, you can make jokes about it all you want, but how much can you talk about it? If I see a good movie, I'll review it. If I read a book that I like, I'll talk about it. News, views, and reviews. I go to the Indian buffet. You get the Indian buffet. Did not go today. Today was a calamari sandwich and vegetables. It was horrible because I didn't get the French fries. And the calamari I shouldn't have eaten because it was from a local place, and it's from China. I know it's poison. I don't feel good from it. I'm tired. Toxic seafood. But look, there's only so much you can do in one day. Or do you want me to fight every day? Charge the line. That's what many of you want. You want me to get on the radio every day with fixed bayonets, like Buchanan says, and charge the Democrats. All right, that's what you want. You got other guys who like to charge the Democrats. In fact, most of them are Democrats, pretending to charge the Democrats. They laugh all the way to the bank. They fly in Gulfstreams 550s, and they tell you that they're with the working class, the working guy. Now, there's nothing against the Gulfstream. They're beautiful airplanes. But please don't pretend you're riding the Q44A with a blue collar working shirt and you're still putting up a wallboard. You're not doing it anymore. How I'm going to adjust to 12 to 3 on the west, 3 to 6 on the east is another story. But I remember when I was a little boy, my mother would put me to sleep at 4 o'clock. She'd tell me it was nighttime. So there may be something in that. I don't know how that works. It's the Savage Nation. We're doing a kind of a retro this, retro that. Little of the news, because you've heard it all today. You see, here's the thing about it, about talk radio. It depends upon the time of day. I may have to do more news during the day. I may do more of a news-oriented show because it'll be earlier and the news is breaking during the day, so I'll do more news. But on the other hand, everyone else does it, so why should I do it anyway? If it agitates me, as it often does, I can control the agitation lately better than I could when I was just starting out. I always went crazy in the beginning. I think it's better to just mix it in, frankly, to an overall talk show. Let the others eat their hearts out and see if they get as far as I did in the time I did. That's all. I wish them all well. Yeah, like I really wish them all well. Yeah, we're all friends in the same dugout, right? Sure. Whoever can sucks every dime into their own kitty and then says that they're a conservative and into the free market. What you mean by the free market is they get everything and you get nothing. Their idea of the free market is, I want it all for me and they can all go to hell, but we'll make believe we're all on the same team. That's the free market. It's war out there, let me tell you. Let's go to KLIF in Texas. James, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I grew up with radio. I grew up as a small child listening to the radio, and I listened to what my parents listened to. The great Gildersleeve, Fibber McGee and Molly, and a lot of the old programs. And my request to you would be to just keep them coming. I just love your little anecdotes and stories and what you have to tell. It's just the best of two worlds for me.
Well, let me ask you, this is a loaded question, James, but I assume you're willing to listen to my stories because you know where I'm coming from politically. Isn't that so?
Well, that's right, and I know where you're coming from. My best friend was Jewish. His mother was an actress in New York, and she told me all about New York. I heard about New York. And
James, what era was this? What period of time we're talking about?
It was the 60s.
Well, it was a changing time. That was the real changing time in America, but you still had a lot of tradition still in America then.
Uh-huh.
And then it all got destroyed. It was completely ruined after the 60s. People say, I don't know how we survived the 60s. My answer is we haven't. Take a look at what we have in the White House and Congress right now. We didn't survive the 60s. I mean, America's future hangs like a loose tooth right now. The country is swaying like a loose tooth. No one knows if this country can be saved. So, I mean, why go into the whole story all over again? We know where we're at, James, but I appreciate the sentiment. And that's the story. See, here's the interesting thing about that caller, James. We are from two dissimilar worlds, two dissimilar backgrounds, and yet I resonate with them. How is that possible? Because when I started in radio, they said, oh, you're too New York. You'll never make it in radio. Your voice is too New York. Well, all right. Well, they were wrong. Were they ever wrong, right? So here we are.
Savage.